Love Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn, taking you for the next, I would say, around 30 to 40 minutes, depending on how fired up I am. I'm a little, it's been a different type of 24 hours. Obviously, we're going to get to the Kobe stuff, a couple of NFL things to get to as well. Of course, we can't leave out the NFL. As always, I shouldn't say as always, because we're back. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. Of course, we are back on Block Talk Radio. It didn't work out at our recent stop. It didn't work out. Totally my fault. We are, an interactive program. Can't have a situation where you just hear my voice. I mean, we need to have guests. We need to have callers. I want to hear from you, the audience. So, we tried something else. Didn't work out. You can always come home again. You can always go home. That's not just my theory, but that's just a fact of life. You can always go home. So we are back on Block Talk Radio. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to Instagram at Rillo Gerald Quinn, or go to Facebook at www.facebook.com/Cyril Quinn. Busy program, but of course we begin with, first of all, before we get to the Kobe stuff, Golden State gets their 19th straight win, a tight game, right down to a wire over a three-point victory over Utah. Again, Steph Curry made some big shots down the stretch. Utah played them well. They're playing, and not to make any excuses for Golden State, they don't need any excuses as far as injuries and what have you. No Harrison Barnes, but they can survive that injury. I mean, they can survive any injury outside of Stephen Curry or Draymond Green. That's how deep that team is. So they get the 19th straight win. And listen, it's still, December now. It's December. By the time this program ends, it'll be December. I don't see how a team could start out 19-0, 20-0, and not win a title. I don't see how, injuries withstanding, I don't see how a team could start out 19-0 in the National Basketball Association and not win the title. I just don't see it. I don't see how it's possible. Again, we know the West is not as loaded as it was. East is actually stronger this year. Not stronger than the West, but just stronger in general. San Antonio, listen, I'm very fascinated by that San Antonio game. I really am. I'm looking forward to that game. San Antonio lost tonight, but San Antonio quietly has put together a great record. They're like 14-4 now. Lost to Chicago on the road. Kawhi Leonard's playing great. Aldridge has gotten acclimated to the Spurs system. He's playing well, playing much better, healthy. So San Antonio is that number one contender. I haven't seen enough out of Oklahoma City. I know I picked Oklahoma City to win a championship, but I have not seen enough out of Oklahoma City to say that they can compete or take out or be a major threat to the Golden State Warriors. That's nothing against Oklahoma City. Golden State is just that good. Like a team I have to pick to beat Golden State, they have to have some championship pedigree. That's all there is to it. That's how well they're playing right now. And Oklahoma City has not played bad. Golden State has just been on another level. Even when they don't play their best, they have been just tremendous this year. I mean, there's no two ways about it. But we have plenty of time to get to that over the course of the NBA season. the number one, of course, sports story right now going is Kobe Bryant announcing his retirement via the Players Tribune. Derek Jeter, a publication that Derek Jeter started. Kobe, of course, is very close to Derek Jeter. Obviously, you know, championships and, you know, been playing in big cities, a lot that those guys have in common. Kobe, I'm not, you know, was I surprised, probably was not, couldn't been blown away by this or not shocked by this. Kobe wants the, you know, he wants the acknowledgement of the farewell tour. I mean, he wants that was clear, that was evident to me that he wanted that. And I just think that, you know, there's a finality to, like, you know, this, why delay the process? I mean, why, you know, why go through however many games he plays, 65, 70, 80 games, whatever, however many games he plays with that hovering over your head and you not at the same time, you shooting, you know, 32%. So it was like, just get it out the way. Everybody knows, you know, where he stands at. You have to be, you know, for the rest of the season, could be a celebration of a 20-year career that ranks up there with any career in NBA history. And I guess, you know, as a lifetime Laker fan, and as a guy who has watched Kobe Bryant since high school. Remember, me and Kobe Bryant are the same age, or I will be his age, you know, in about 10 days. You know, born in the same year, Lower Merion, not the outskirts of Philadelphia. I'm from the outskirts of Philadelphia. So I kind of like basically grew up watching Kobe Bryant and also rooting for the Lakers. And, you know, you knew it was going to happen one day. Like, you know, a guy can't play forever. Nothing lasts forever in sports. But it just seemed like, it almost seemed like the guy would never retire. Like, you really got the sense that he kept playing year after year after year, you know, at an all-NBA level. You know, when it got to year 17, that 2012-2013 season, where, you know, he played had one of the most efficient seasons of his career as far as shooting wise and what he was doing rebounding at the age of, you know, 34, at the age of 34, 35, you just, you know, say, hey, this guy can go another 5 years or so. I mean, he seemingly was on that Tom Brady trek until, of course, he tore the Achilles with, you know, four games left in the regular season of that particular season in 2013. And that was, in essence, that was the beginning of the end for Kobe Bryant. But he never really fully recovered from that injury. I know he came back, only played 6 games the following year, 35 games last year. Did not play as bad as everybody made it out to be. But still, only played 35 games and averaging, you know, about roughly 25-5, but 22-6-6, somewhere. So 22-5-5, basically. You know, there's something to be said about doing it your way. I put this on my Facebook page, and I put the quote, and I'll read it now, about Frank Sinatra, Frank Sinatra's a legend. If you ever get a chance to watch the documentary that HBO did on Sinatra back, like, I came out in April. It was a 2-hour, might have been, a 4-hour documentary. Both two parts, both of them were like 2 hours long. It was just, it was tremendous. It was, I mean, and I've been somebody who had looked up, admired Frank Sinatra for a long time, just not following this, but, you know, reading things about him and obviously fan of his music. But, you know, you look at the lyrics, My Way, and he says, and now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway. But more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few. But then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exception. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and stood tall and did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed, I've cried. I've had my life, I've had my fill. I've had my fill, my share of losing. And now, as tears subside, I find I did it my way. I didn't even get the rest of the lyrics on here. But that, I mean, that's Kobe Bryant. That is, I mean, that, and again, I only gave you the first basically two stanzas of the song. But now that I read basically the entire song, that is Kobe Bryant. And I think part of the just, I want to say detest, because you know, Kobe has got, you know, either you love or hate Kobe. There's no really in between with Kobe Bryant. But I think part of the frustration of the people who detest Bryant and don't like, you know, didn't like how his style of play was the fact that he did it his way and did it with the kind of success that he had. Like, if you're a kid growing up and you're hard-headed, which at times when I grew up I was, your parents tell you something, you say, no, I got it. You're dead wrong. They're right. You're wrong. You fall on your face, and it's like, okay, I should have did it their way. I did it the wrong way. Didn't listen to them. I had to learn the hard way. Not the case with Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant was that player who, hard-headed, stubborn, and put together one of the great careers in NBA history. Doing it, in essence, his way. You know, where you want to talk about the shot selection. You want to talk about the, you know, Shaquille O'Neal ordeal. You want to talk about, you know, threatening, demanding trades. You want to talk about, and I'm not even going to bring up Eagle Colorado. It's not even a basketball, you know, situation. But just another reason why for somebody to hate Kobe Bryant. Because if somebody does it their way and they fall on their face, you'll laugh at them and say, hey, look at you. Oh, yep, not as smart as you think. But if somebody does it their way and you don't like them and they not only succeed, they flourish, it's going to be a little, it's going to be some haterade. I mean, it just is. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. And the thing, you know, the thing to me that jumped out yesterday with his press conference after the game was the fact that how he ended his career, how he's going to end his career in terms of, and again, we don't know he'll, you know, we don't know how healthy he's going to stay. We don't know how, what his shooting percentage is going to end up. I'd be surprised if he does get to 40% the way he's going right now. Hard, you know, jump from 31, 32 to 40%. But whatever, however it ends, it's supposed to end like this. So it's not like Kobe Bryant is not supposed to go out like a John Elway. No. That'd be too simple. That'd be too storybook. It's not supposed to be storybook. This is how it's supposed to end. With Kobe hanging on, watching as, you know, Paul George lights him up for 39 points while he shoots 4 for 20. Seeing all these young guns, Russell Westbrooks, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard's, those players just go by him. LeBron James's, and the upcoming, you know, the upcoming guys like Andrew Wiggins. This is how it's supposed to end. Because this is real life. There's no storybook endings in that. Like, a lot of times in real life, there's no happy endings, no storybook, or things don't go according to plan. And the thing about, you know, I think the thing about Kobe, love or hate him, that you can't deny is, as a basketball player, he has been from day one, from the time he came in 1996 up until this point, true to who and what he is. There's been no facade, no BS. This is who I am as a basketball player. You can choose to love me or hate me. Choice is yours. Choice is yours. And there's something to be said about that. I mean, let's be honest. Kobe Bryant, could have pulled a Tim Duncan or a Dirk Nowitzki, took less money, and, you know, been surrounded by more talent, or possibly been a second, third, or a fourth option. Could have did it. Could have left L.A. and went to another place. Let me tell you something. Even after watching him this year, if he wanted to come back and play next year, not for the Lakers, for a contender as a third or fourth option, there's no, like, the idea that nobody would pick him up is crazy. Like, that, it's just, like, as a, you know, you're telling me that Kobe Bryant can't hit spot-up jump shots, can't play 15 minutes? You know, the days of him carrying a team or being the best player on a team of a championship contender, as a championship contender, or even as a playoff contender, I mean, that's done. And we know that's done. And again, at the age of 37 and 53, you know, 50,000 minutes and 20 years, it's supposed to be done. I mean, could he take, again, he could easily, if he wanted to, take a Gary Payton, Jason Kidd, that type of role. He could do it, but that's not Kobe Bryant. It's not who he is. That's not what, you know, got him to 32,000 plus points, 17 All-Star games, you know, 15 times All-NBA, 12 times All-Defensive, 9 times First-Team All-Defensive. That's not what got him 5 championships. It's not. Again, he is supposed to go out this way. It's supposed to happen like this. It absolutely is. There's no two ways about it. It's supposed to happen like this. Tim Duncan is going to go out possibly with a 6th championship, at worst on a team that's contending for a championship. That's who Tim Duncan is. Doesn't care about the limelight. Doesn't care about shots. Doesn't care about, you know, at this point, taking less money. Is not worried about being the guy. That's Tim Duncan. That's Tim Duncan. If Tim Duncan were taking 25 shots and were playing somewhere, you know, in Brooklyn by himself as being the guy, you'd be like, that's not Tim Duncan. That's not, what is he doing? That's not who he is. That's what you got to respect about him. He's been true to who he has been over the course of his 19-year career. So, again, as a Laker fan, you know, people, and I've heard a lot of this, you know, this is tough to watch. I hate that he has to go out like this and so on, you know, almost like, I don't want to say pity party, but it's been like a, you know, morbid. I mean, it really has. I have to be honest with you. Watching him this season, I'm perfectly fine with it. Like, I as a Laker fan, I just want him to be able to finish the season healthy. How he plays, if he shoots 25%, if he, you know, 1 for 15, that's fine. I like, because this is how it's supposed to. This is how it's supposed to go down. You get 20 years as a two guard playing professional basketball. It's not gonna be pretty. It wasn't like it's not gonna be pretty. And we can go through every course. We can go through all the sports. I can give you guys. I mean, I can go back to Bayreuth. Look at Bayreuth's last. You know, the Sultan, the SWAT, the Bambino. Look at his last. Look at his numbers the last 2 years as a Yankee. Look at those numbers when you get a chance to. Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Robinson. I mean, I can go through Wayne Gretzky. I can go through them all. Mario Lemieux. And see how it ended. Like, you know, Pete Sampras. Actually, you actually have to appreciate a guy like Pete Sampras because he went out on top. He went out with a U.S. Open. He was like, you know what? Let me win this U.S. Open, beat Andre Agassi, drop the mic. Like, that is rare. That is the rarest of rares. That's what made that moment when Jordan hit that shot against Utah in 98. That's what made that moment so iconic because we thought that was it. And that was like, here's the guy who's still the best player going out like that with a sixth ring, dragging that team. Like, you can't be, it couldn't have been more perfect. But he came back, and which is fine. That was fine. But he couldn't, after that, it was all downhill after that. He was not going to go out any better than that 98. That pose on that on the cover of Sports Illustrated with the follow-through. It was not going to get any better than that. And more times than not, 9.5 times out of 10, it doesn't end well. It doesn't. I mean, again, Joe Montana, Johnny Unitas, I can go across the board in all sports. It does not end well. And again, not to stick to not go off the cliff in terms of sports. What Roger Federer is doing right now at his age, I mean, if it wasn't for nobody like Djokovic, he would have, you know, 22, 23, 24 majors. What he's doing right now is remarkable and is certainly not getting enough credit to be playing at the level he's playing at his age with the mileage that he has on his legs. It is remarkable. It's unreal. And shouldn't he? I'm just wondering, how is he doing it? Because it normally does not end well when you've been that prolific of a champion, when you have that much many miles on your legs, the training, the touring, the traveling. It all takes a toll at the end of the day. And again, as a Laker fan, like, yeah, what can you complain about? As far as from a Kobe perspective, like I mean, the organization is what it is right now. The organization is a disaster. Kobe didn't sign himself to that contract. Nah, I've said this repeatedly. He did not sign himself to the 2 years, $48 million. Didn't do it. You want to blame somebody? Blame Jeannie and Jim Buss. Blame Jim Buss. That was Jim Buss, not Jerry. Jim. So, like, if you want to look at how a guy is, like, you want to get the true sense of how to, like, honestly, I shouldn't use this word, judge somebody, or how great somebody was in a particular walk of life, sport, entertainment, look no further than their peers. Look no further than their peers. Forget critics, forget the media. To give out what I say, look at how revered Kobe Bryant is by his peers. Look what Kevin Durant says. Look at all, I mean, you have guys, he told the story about the Detroit player who he didn't even know, standing behind over Andre Drummond. The guy, you know, they go out, they have two captains. The official says, you know, gives them the whole, you know, the normal pregame, yeah, I guess whatever basketball rules you have for pregame, so on and so on. Detroit has a third guy, and the referee says, what are you doing? Like, you can't, like, you can only have two captains. And the guy standing behind Andre Drummond, who Kobe didn't know, says, man, I just want to shake your hand. These are professional athletes. These guys have egos. These are mini corporations. These are multimillionaires. they don't have to say what they say about him. Kevin Durant doesn't have to get out there and rip the media defending Kobe Bryant. He's Kevin Durant. He has an MVP. He has a gold medal. He's arguably the second or third best player in the world. He's Kevin Durant. He doesn't have to say that about Kobe Bryant. Here's what J.R. Smith said via Twitter. I call him underappreciated because instead of having one MVP, he should have more. He was the best player in our game for many years. When everyone said no one wants to play with him, he still found a way to get it done. Two rings after Shaq. Y'all said he would never win. I mean, I never thought that I would be pulling material from J.R. Smith, but... And J.R. said some other things, too, about the shot. You know, from one bad shot maker and take it to another. That basically what that was part of, too. He and Kobe are kindred spirits as far as bad shot making and taking. Kobe's made more, of course, than J.R. has. But, you know, both cut from that same cloth of tough shot makers and shot takers. But he's right. I mean, he is. I mean, as crazy as the sound, he is underappreciated. He is. I mean, he really is. Like, if you don't believe it's a popularity contest, like, and again, I'll go back to Francis Albert. So Frank Sinatra, later in his career, as he was getting up there in age, and this goes to show you, you know, when the movie scripts dried up, when nobody was buying his records. He's at a point where he was doing shows with basically no-name groups, okay? He was doing shows with no-name groups, and he had an album that came out, and I forgot the name of the album, To Save My Life. I should have researched this. Came out with an album that sold 30,000 copies. 30,000 copies. And at that point, he's like, you know what? I'm done. So this is going to be it. And he's doing concerts, many of them farewell tours, and like Kobe shooting air balls across arenas across the East United States, Sinatra at times was forgetting the words to the songs that he had sung, you know, countless thousands of times. You forget the words. Did he get booed? Absolutely not. You know what people said? It's okay, Frank. Take your time, Frank. That's how revered he was by everybody. Not just peers, but just by, you know, media, everyone. Audience, fans. Not the case with Kobe. Not the case in the least bit with Kobe Bryant. And I heard somebody say something today about the timing of his announcement. And basically saying that, hey, this was, you know, he's using this as a way to deflect attention off his play. Let me tell you something. There's nothing that he can do outside of, God forbid, going into a coma that would deflect. Outside of something like that happening, something catastrophic happening, outside of that, there's nothing that he could do that would deflect attention off his play. Period. I mean, it's going to be the talk of the town, talk of every basketball writer, talking head, media person, everybody. So when you talk about how he's playing right now, everybody. And, you know, I understand the aspect that you have to call a spade a spade. He's been terrible this year. But understand that he's admitted to being terrible, like calling himself the 200 worst player, best player in the league, or saying that, you know what, I'm trying as hard as I can, but I'm playing like crap. And I know I'm playing like crap, but I'm putting the work in without question. But I'm playing like crap. So he's acknowledging. It's not like he's sitting up there saying, like, hey, I'm playing great. I don't know what you guys are seeing. The shots, you know, they're not, you know, it's not as bad as it looks. Like, no, he's not sugarcoating it at all. Not sugarcoating anything. And I think, you know, to be honest with you, from the comments that I've seen him make, the idea that he's going to finish out the season or going to attempt to finish out the season, he's embracing it. Yeah, this is what it is. This is what it is. Three four seven two one five six one eight zero is a call number. Yes, we are. We have returned to Blog Talk Radio. It is not this. I mean, this is, yeah. We're back on Blog Talk Radio. Certainly good to be back. It did not work out with where we were at. Sometimes if things happen like that, it's fine. You can always come home. You can always go home no matter what. We're certainly happy to be back with Blog Talk Radio, and you know, Blog Talk has been good to us, and hopefully we've been good to them. So, you know, the Lakers, you know, if you're a Lakers, again, what you want to see out of the rest of the season, and, you know, Kobe will get, you know, he'll get his fair share of farewells and goodbyes, but what you want to see out of the rest of the season, it's all about the kids. As far as the development of you know, D'Angelo Russell, who has not played as bad as everybody's making out to be. He's not. He really hasn't. You won't see the full D'Angelo Russell until Kobe Bryant is completely out the door. That's all there is to it. So, like, that transitional, you can't have the transition is not going to be smooth having Kobe still on the court with rookies, with unproven rookies. It's not going to happen. Kobe is not, just like he's not a coach. He's not a mentor. He's just not a mentor who is going to develop young talent this young. Like, it's one thing if a Kevin Durant asks him for advice or John Wall, guys like that, guys who are established all-stars. These are players who are trying to find their way. These are players, Clarkson, Randall, and D'Angelo Russell, that, frankly, first, second-year players are wet behind the ears. Coach Bryant has been in the league 20 years. There's basically almost no time for him to develop them. This is 1 year. Not to say that this year has to be a throwaway, but again, the team is just not put together the right way. It's not a ideal situation for something like that to happen. Byron Scott is not the coach that the Lakers should have. Roy Hibbert should not be on the team. So it's just not the ideal situation from an organizational standpoint for player development. It's not. And that's the other side. I mean, that's the unfortunate part of where the Lakers are at right now. So enjoy it. Enjoy it. I mean, there's about 64, 65 games left. Again, keep this in mind. You know, you almost have to forget about these last 3 years that he's had. His first 17 years, he was either the best player or near the top of the game. For 17 years, he was at an all NBA level for 17 years. So let that sink in for a couple minutes. 17 years. And really, you think about it, it's an end of an era, not for just Kobe Bryant, but really, you look at that draft class or classes from 96 to 98, you had guys like Vince Carter, Paul Pierce, Allen Iverson, Stephon Marbury, even going back to 95. I can even go back to 95. Rasheed Wallace, Stackhouse and Kevin Garnett was on his way out. Dirt and the Whiskey was on his way out, you know, in a couple of years. And if not, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Dirt and the Whiskey retired after this year, to be honest with you. I'd be surprised if Tim Duncan was going into this year. Maybe the Whiskey plays another year. Maybe Duncan plays another year at most. Ray Allen, part of that group. The class, you know, is in with the old, out with the old, in with the new. I mean, Andrew Wiggins of the world, Carl Anthony Towns. Those guys, Jimmy Butler's, Kawhi Leonard's, Bradley Beal's. I mean, those guys are like, it's a new day in the NBA. Ton of young talent. That, you know, Porzingis is going to be a very good player. Again, there haven't been, and again, I'm not going to go crazy with these rankings. Like, I think at worst, he's the sixth, the fifth, or sixth best player in the world, I mean, to ever play. I think the safe thing to say is top 10. I think that top 10 is the vogue thing to say. Like, that, if you put him in the top 10, that's not an insult, but it's also, it probably also doesn't do him justice either. But that's, you know, that's a bold thing. That's a bold thing. That's a safe play. It's a safe play. I wouldn't put him below six. Only guys I would have confidence in definitely saying that he does not want, and that he doesn't crack. And I don't think anybody will crack for a long time. The, you know, basically the Holy Trinity is Jordan, Russell, and Jabbar. You could put Chamberlain fourth. And I honestly think Kobe's fifth, to be honest with you. I put those four and Kobe. And then say a Duncan and then a Magic and Bird and go and so on, you know, and we'll go from there. LeBron probably after, you could put LeBron before Bird at this point. He's done enough, but I mean, it's still debatable. But again, it's something to be said about doing it your way and flourishing. Something to be said about that. How often does that happen in any walk of life? Somebody does it their way and not only succeeds, they flourish to a level that very few ever reach. So, you know, again, it'll be a welcome sight. Hopefully, I'm trying to get to the game Wednesday with the Wizards. I don't even know if he's gonna play. Lakers have a game in Philly tomorrow, and have a back to back Tuesday, Wednesday. So, Philly's his hometown. So, that would be three games. That would be four games in 5 nights if he plays both of them. Because remember, he played Portland, Indiana back to back. They had today off. Can't see him playing all those games. He's going to take one of those games off, hoping that it's the Philly game. But probably, I would lean, he'll probably take the Wizards game off. Probably take that game off and play in Philadelphia. No, we'll see. Who knows? Who knows? At this point, it's like, hey, last season, you know, I have not saving any minutes or saved my legs for anything at this point. So, you know, there's a possibility that he might play in both games. But if I had to guess, I would think that he would sit out Washington on Wednesday and play against Philly tomorrow night. Of course, Warriors take out Utah 107. I think it was 107-104. 19 straight wins. No Harrison Barnes, no problem. Again, the way the the Warriors are just what they're doing with the league right now, to the league right now. It's just, I mean, I'm running out of adjectives. I mean, just it's insane what they're doing. It really is. It really is. And you wonder, can they get to 33? Can they get to 33? Now, and keep this in mind, 33 would be Christmas Day against the Cavaliers. So keep that in mind. Is looking more and more. And remember, they don't play Oklahoma City and San Antonio until next year. Like, they don't play those two teams. They don't play San Antonio until January. And they don't play Oklahoma City, I believe, until February. So, 33 is on the table. It really is. It's absolutely on the table. Couple things with the football, the NFL. We'll get more depth into it later on in the week. But that was very impressed with Brock Osweiler. That's a tough spot, Sunday Night Football. It's a Bill Belichick coach defense, undefeated team, even though the Patriots are losing seemingly a man a quarter. Luckily for them, the Gronkowski injury is not that serious. But that was a very good performance. And I'm telling you right now, I would not bring Peyton Manning back unless, like, Osweiler would really have to stink up the joint for me to bring Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning would have to be, like, as healthy as he's been all season long before I brought it back. Like, something would have to force my hand. Like, everything is equal. Osweiler would finish the season as the Broncos quarterback if I would call the shots. So either Osweiler would have to stink up the joint, or Peyton Manning would have to be so healthy that you just say, you know what, we can't sit him. Like, he would have to just, or like, that's how healthy that he would have to be. And he would have to blow me away in practice, like, or, you know, during the week. Yeah, because you're dealing with a guy like the team is energized. You know, he's brought some life to that team. And they put 30 points on the board against New England's defense is not great. We know that, but New England's defense does not. They give up. They may give us some yards. They don't give up a lot of points. So he brought some life to that team. Second thing, I'll say about in regards to the big win out of Seattle. That was the second thing. Big win out of Seattle. I thought Pittsburgh was going to win that game, but that was a big win out of Seattle that, you know, I thought that they lost that game, that they more likely would be done as far as making the playoffs. I really did. I thought that was a big win for them. I thought Pittsburgh was going to win the game. As far as the Redskins goes, listen, if you're a Redskins fan, you have nothing to complain about. The team not only is in first place, but they're going to be playing meaningful games in December in a bad division that is right for the picking. Yeah, it's right there for the Redskins. Right there. I'm not going to sit up here and say they should win it. I'm not. The Redskins are not good enough for us to start counting their victories and saying they're going to beat this team, they're going to beat that team. They're not. The whole division's bad. The Redskins are just the lesser of the evils. But, again, Kirk Cousins has played well this year. Check. December games, meaningful December games. Check. A culture that seems to be on the rise. Check. They've exceeded all my expectations. I didn't think the Redskins would struggle to win four games this year. Struggle to win five games. Really did. Really not too much to complain about if you're a Washington Redskins fan. College will come out with playoff top four next week. Tomorrow, expect to see, Clemson, Alabama, Iowa, and Oklahoma. And probably, I think Oklahoma could move up possibly. Kind of situation, Oklahoma moves up to two, Alabama drops to three, Iowa's four. But bottom line is Oklahoma is a lock, absolute lock to be in the playoffs. Of course, we know Alabama, Clemson, Michigan State, and Iowa will be playing for a spot. And through all this chaos, through all this talking about how many undefeated teams, more times than not, these things, in terms of college playoffs, college football, they work themselves out. These teams lose. They knock off each other. Stanford, Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, Baylor, TCU, they knock off each other. More times than not, it works itself out. It really does. Question is, if one of those teams loses, the door will be open for an Ohio State, who was extremely impressive with that bounce back win over Michigan. That was a big time win following what happened at the Horseshoe against Michigan State the prior week. Big time win at Ohio State. That's going to wrap it up for this special edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joe Quinn. I will see you next time. Take it easy.